Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Columbus Day, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening. Wait, did you say it's Columbus Day?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that mean I have a day off?
No, only federal workers and post office people and banks.
That's it. I'm signing out. Spay, neuter, and geld, people. It's a holiday. I'm out. This is October 8th, episode 504, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on this unholiday. It's one of those holidays I think they just put in the calendar to make sure that federal employees and bank workers get a day off in the fall. Otherwise, they have to wait all the way till like Thanksgiving. So that's why we do Columbus Day. And then kids get off, too, I guess, today, right?
Really?
Yeah, lucky. I think the kids have off school today, too. So... But, it was a good weekend. Thank you, everybody, again, for joining us. We actually did something that we never do, and you're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked because you know how I feel about baseball. I really don't like baseball that much.
Did you watch the nightmare of a Braves game Friday night where they botched the call and my team is out of the playoffs for the entire freaking year and Chipper Jones is done with his whole entire career and I was crying? Did you cry, too? Is that what you watched?
No, but I did see that you posted about that, and I went and read it, and then I saw that the Atlanta fans can be, they're litterers. They really are like the litter, don't they, in Atlanta?
Let me just tell you something, my friend, that constantly throughout my entire history of being a Braves fan, the Atlanta Braves fans have been called emotionless, not passionate, and they've been kind of given a hard time for not being passionate enough, and then this bad call is made, Glenn. And rightfully
it was
so,
an infield fly rule call too, wasn't it? Which is the most stupid rule in all of baseball.
Well, they call an infield fly rule, which is the shortstop or somebody in the infield is supposed to be able to make an easy catch to catch this ball. And this shortstop was halfway into outfield. Nobody made the catch. It dropped down, and then they call an infield fly, and it was just the worst call ever. And the Atlanta fans, for those who don't know, got really upset and started throwing things onto the field. And I was very, very proud of them. I was proud of all of them. I mean, I hate to be the guy in the good seats that's getting hit in the back of the head, but you know what? It's your fault. That's why you paid that much money for a seat. So you deserve it.
Bottles,
anyway, so they're
cups.
Now, mind you, they are plastic bottles. They don't allow glass in Turner Field, which is probably a good idea. But there was a call, and the announcer, oh, I'm so mad. He's like, Atlanta, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself acting like this and throwing stuff on the field. And I was like, Don Sutton, if I was sitting next to you, I would throw you on the field. I mean, that's how mad I was.
How long did it take him to clean up the field? It wasn't the end of the game either, right? They had more game to play.
It was an 18-minute delay.
Cleaning the field.
Yeah. It's awesome. I was proud of everybody. Good job, you guys. But anyway, my team's out, and now I guess, because if they'd have won, we would have eventually played Chad's team, and that would have just been fun. Mm.
Now, this was a new thing, too, this whole tiebreaker of a wild card deal, right? They had never done that before. That I know about.
No, they kind of did, instead of one wild card from each division, they did or from the National League and the American League, they did two, and one in each division. And it to me, it's a bad idea. The wild card's a bad idea. So the fact that they added a one-game playoff, baseball teams don't play one team one game ever. And then they throw this in, and I guess it gives you a little bit of extra hope. But, man, if somebody wins the World Series who was one of those extra wild card teams, people are going to be mad.
Now, what it does is it sells extra tickets and makes extra money for the league.
That's true. It does do that. I watched it.
Hey, so we watched a baseball movie last night. Can you believe that? A baseball movie.
Oh my God.
About baseball.
Did you watch Bull Durham?
No.
8 Men Out?
No.
Field
no.
of Dreams? Pride
no.
of the Yankees? The Natural?
No.
For Love of the Game? The Rookie?
No. No.
I didn't know there were so many baseball
movies. Yeah, I didn't either.
Oh, I can keep going. Hang the drums.
And by the way,
what do you want?
I haven't seen
Moneyball?
Any of those.
Major League?
We watched
Mr. Baseball?
A League of Their Own with Tom Hanks and Gina Davis.
That's not a baseball movie.
It sure
is.
It's a baseball movie. It had baseball players and girls in skirts and Gina Davis. What more do you want?
Exactly.
A young Gina Davis at that.
And I love it. It's like, well, are you crying? There's no crying in baseball. I disagree, my friend. I cried Friday night.
And then Tom Hanks, that was an unusual role for him to play the drunk sort of nasty guy. He doesn't usually play that role. Now, how much of that was actually true to what actually did happen with the women's league back then?
I think it was pretty true. I mean, if you watch at the end of it, they actually show you the actual players. That, you know, they actually come back out and they kind of give you the idea of that this is very true and all these people were real. So, I mean, of course, they always fill in a lot of dialogue.
The little fat kid was funny. I liked him, too.
Of course you liked the little fat kid.
Yeah, and Madonna was in that movie. Boy, she was young. I mean, it was a young Madonna in that movie.
You do realize this movie is from 1989, right?
No, it was 1992. 92 was the movie. 20 years old, yeah.
My bad, you're so current.
I'm just catching up to my baseball movie.
Okay, well, you've never seen The Field of Dreams?
No.
Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones? No, it's like, you'd like it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, but it is a fantastic movie, and it's kind of a supernatural kind of movie.
Can I bring up something else here real quick? Can a girl with absolutely no, you I'm talking about, how can a girl with absolutely no sense of humor be so funny? That's what I don't understand. The other night, I get a text from Miss Jamie saying, I'm going to give the puppet guy another chance. I'm going to give him another chance, and I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to see if it's funny. And then you wrote back and said, still not funny. I just don't – Jeff Dunham, there's a reason that he makes $40 million a year, and he is the biggest selling thing that has ever been on Comedy Central. The biggest selling thing that's ever been on that station. And
that
you don't,
cannot be possible.
No, it
that
is true.
That cannot
he is
be possible.
The highest, he is the highest ranked thing that's ever been on Comedy Central, ever. He's the highest ranked show.
Okay, well, I'd like to point out that I actually –
Comedy Central. How hard can that be?
Exactly. I do watch Comedy Central probably more than anything. But I would like to tell you that I actually took a photo, just to clarify to everybody that I was not lying, I took a photo of my television and texted it to Glenn. And I said, I'm gonna give it 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And that old guy, the old puppet, was there.
If
and then later on,
like Walter, you don't have a sense of humor in your body, in any little ounce of your body, if you don't like Walter.
Yeah, I don't like him. And it's not funny. The guy, it's not funny.
How do I work with you?
It is.
You
not
don't
funny.
Like Big Bang Theory, by the way. 95% of our audience totally agrees with your sense of humor, disagrees with your sense of humor. You know, we proved that with the Big Bang post we put up there. I don't know, Jamie. You need a transplant.
Oh, my gosh. We got to do a Facebook post on this one because I think I might be right on this one. I think, well, you know what? If these nerdy listeners like the Big Bang Theory, they're probably going to like your weird puppet guy.
That's right.
Puppets are not funny. It's just weird. And I'm going to tell you something else that's not funny and kind of weird, which is what I did with my dad yesterday. And I'm gonna tell you about that later on in the show because I've got pictures. I've got proof. I've got pictures and proof that I am a Wild West cowgirl. I should be in John Wayne movies. And we're going to talk about that, too, because I was actually at the St. Glen with my dad. Okay.
Sorry. Well, let's get on with the show here before we totally run out of time. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, exploits apparently abounded this weekend, as Glenn and Jamie have so enthusiastically recounted already. So once they've run their course, we have a breed highlight segment to spark your curiosity today. Steve Gregg will be here to inform us about the horse that Glenn loves, the Clydesdale.
Okay.
And as usual, Monday's wrap-up will be provided by Wiley Leslie, the official laugh track of Horse Nation. And we'd like to play tribute to a child game that has gone the way of the mastodon, Touch Tag. It's National Touch Tag Day, which appears to be no longer played in empty lots or backyards across America. It's been replaced by Twitter Tag.
Because none of kids ever go outside anymore. Well, a couple of people get this. Happy birthday to our tech guru, Mandy Widrick. It was her birthday over the weekend. Happy birthday, Mandy. And also to equestrian professional, creator, and moderator, Elizabeth McMillan, who appears on our show occasionally and is a friend of the Horse Radio Network. Happy birthday to Elizabeth.
My Daily Winnie goes out to a blog that I love, love, love to read. And I don't know this person. And, I guess I always thought it was weird that people followed strangers' blogs until I started following one. And I love this one. And it's great. And on Fridays, they always do pictures. And it's a horse blog, shocker. But they always do pictures of random animals on Fridays. I don't know why, but Jennifer, do you mind posting the picture that I sent you? And this is from the website and the blog horseandman.com. Horseandman.com is incredibly entertaining, and they actually are kind of tied in with Omega Alpha on Mondays. And so I guess when I've talked to the Omega Alpha people, I'm like, how come you guys advertise on this blog? I had no idea. So on this blog on Horse and Man, they actually take money in donations, and people donate to pay, like, vet bills for people's horses, like the really sad, incredibly sad rescue cases that people save. Like, on there right now, there was a mare who was found roaming the streets with these bones and had pneumonia, and people donated $2,000 to help with the medical bill. Haven't donated yet. But it's a really great, and they show you all she shows you the money that comes in. She shows you the check she writes to the people. She doesn't keep a dime of it. It's just a really cool blog, horseandman.com. So they get my Daily Winnie. But they posted this picture, Glenn, and Jennifer was working on posting it on our Facebook page on Horses in the Morning. Did you get it, Jen?
She's calling, getting our guest on the line now. So.
Oh, it's on there. It's on there. Go ahead and hit refresh. This is the weirdness of the awesomeness.
Oh, my God. That is one big pig.
It's a photo of a very hairy pig. Now,
is it politically incorrect to say that I don't find pigs attractive in the least? Is that politically incorrect? Just that.
No, you can say that. I bet this guy would disagree with you. Because he has, I don't know, that's got to be an 800, 900-pound pig. Probably more. Would you think more?
That one's rounded out about 1,000, I bet. Well, and how is that couch? The pig is laying on his lap on the couch. How is that couch holding that fat pig up? That's my question.
the caption was underneath it, this must be the guest couch. Because this pig is taking up the entire couch and is draped over his lap. And I just thought it was a really cool picture. So that is why they get my
Did you notice the picture above his head, the painting on the wall?
It's a picture of a pig.
Yeah.
Or a boar or whatever. So I thought that was weird, and I like this website. So it's horseandman.com if you want to just kind of, like, get something on your radar, something else to kill time at work besides listening to us and checking Horse Nation and those kinds of things. Just check this one out, horseandman.com.
Now, I went to horseandman.com, and I is it the one that says exploring the bond between equines and their people? And they have a whole bunch of Lyme disease stuff up here. This must be the wrong
one. Oh, yeah, that's it.
That's it?
She does everything, like, and I'm assuming it's a she, because, she talks about her husband sometimes. And she does, like, educational pieces, and then pieces about diseases, and then entertaining pictures, and then a rescue story, and then she talks about her horses. I don't know why I'm, like, obsessed with this woman, but it's like Julie and Julia, the blog. I'm one of her readers.
It kind of actually has the same feel as Julia did when she first started her blog way back when, because it was very simple. It was very simple like this. Yeah. Very good. Well, while we're waiting for our first guest to get on here, I did have something I wanted to tell everybody about, and that was Wednesday morning. This Wednesday, you want to TiVo or DVR Good Morning America if you can't watch it live, because if you remember right, we had Paralympian Rebecca Hart on with us. Remember, she was the one that works at Starbucks, and Starbucks was helping support her while she was making her Olympic bid to go to London, and her coach is Missy Ramshausen, and she works for Missy. She was on our show before she went to the Olympics in London, and she will be appearing. She got a call last week that was very exciting. She got a call from Good Morning America, and they wanted her to come up to New York. Well, they're actually at her farm today, filming her riding and all of that stuff, doing the background stuff. And then they want her to come to New York because they're doing a piece on therapeutic riding and handicapped riding and things like that. So they wanted her to appear in that. But she's not only that. Apparently, she's going to be transported to someplace in New York. Don't know all the details. And she's going to meet Ann Romney, Mitt Romney's wife, and they're going to ride horses, from what we understand, together to the studio. So it's going to be her and Ann Romney on Good Morning America talking about, you know, therapeutic riding, because Ann has, what was it?
MS.
Was it MS? Okay. And so they're going to be on there together. So what a treat for Rebecca to get that kind of recognition, and she certainly deserves it.
How do you think that phone call goes? Hi. Jamie, this is Good Morning America. We'd like you to come ride horses on our show. Okay, stop screwing with me, Glenn. That's not funny.
Oh, no, by the way, the presidential candidate's wife's going to ride with you. You're going to ride with her?
Why not?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what your politics is. That's all pretty cool stuff. So, yeah you can check
I'm
that out.
I'm not riding with that woman. I'm not riding with her. Bring me Michelle Obama. She'd fall off, so you wouldn't happen.
Good Morning America, Wednesday morning. Don't miss it. Check it out. Should be a lot of fun. Well, we're doing a breed highlight segment this morning with one of my favorite breeds. And I think if you like commercials at all, there's favorite commercials for horse people in this country, it's the commercials that include the Clydesdale. And we all know which ones I'm talking about. Well, we have Steve Gregg on with us today to talk, and he's from Ontario, Canada, to talk about Clydesdales and learn a little more about that fabulous draft breed. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning,
Steve.
How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. I understand that you're on the road, actually.
We are at a horse show today, yeah. We are at one of the bigger draft horse shows here in Ontario is this weekend, so we're just finishing up here today.
Well, terrific. Tell us a little bit about how you got into Clydesdales, of all things.
Well, my family's always been involved in them. I'm actually third generation, so I guess you could say I was just maybe not forced into it. It was there to do, and we just carried on with it. So
your family's always had Clydesdales?
Yes, my grandfather started showing Clydesdales in 1929, and we really haven't missed any years since, that I know of anyway. So now my son is carrying on too, I guess, the before generation too. So he's very involved too, and my daughter as well. So.
And you have a breeding and showing operation there in Canada?
Yes, we do. We stand anywhere from 40 to 50 Clydesdales, usually 10, 12, 15 brood mares, and then 2 to 3 stallions. And we've, we breed quite a lot of outside mares and whatever it takes to satisfy the customers.
Steve, 40 to 50 Clydesdales. We were talking last week about how much hay it's taking and how expensive hay is right now. How much hay do you have to use to feed 40 to 50 Clydesdales?
It does take quite a lot of feed. We're fortunate enough to be able to grow all of our own. We're on about 300-acre farm here in Ontario, and we're able to grow all our own hay and as well as oats too, pretty well. I mean, we got to buy in some supplements, minerals and whatnot, but as far as the basics, we're able to grow our own, which obviously costs, but it's not the same as if you're buying it anyway, it seems, so.
Now, tell us a little bit about the history of the Clydesdale in North America here.
Well, I'll tell you what I know about it. I guess it originated in Scotland, the breed did, and I guess the early settlers in this country obviously brought horses with them or got horses over here from Scotland, and some of them pursued the breed to make sure it stayed alive and obviously worked the horses for a certain number of years in this country till power was taken over. And then, you know, they kept them going basically as show horses now, hobby horses, show horses, breeding horses. And, as far as work anymore, there's really very little of that done. They're certainly quite the show animal and seem to be in pretty good demand most times.
Now, you know, we associate Clydesdales, people who don't even know about horses associate Clydesdales, of course, with the Budweiser hitch. Were they used to pull beer wagons and things like that back then?
Oh, for sure. And, like, beer wagons was one thing, but I think any freight wagons, they were, you know, 6-horse teams, 8-horse teams were used in the cities anyway for moving freight from the trains to the stores and buildings, warehouses, wherever they needed to go. So the 6-horse hitches that are showing nowadays and 8s are basically just a replica of what it was like, you know, years ago when they were actually used to work. And Budweiser has just kept up the tradition, obviously, for advertising purposes, and they've done a tremendous job of it. So.
And how much has Budweiser kind of helped your breeding operation, or is it pretty much draft horse people or Clydesdale people kind of stick together, or do you get outsiders that are interested in the breed because they saw the commercial of the Clydesdale kicking the football, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Anheuser-Busch or Budweiser has been just a tremendous ambassador for the breed, and they've, I guess you could say, set it in the minds of the people that this is the draft horse, and it's like a free advertising thing for us. We're very fortunate to have them and the promotion they do for the breed. I mean, they're a big, big key. I mean, there's still, you know, your breeders that, I mean, they're breeders that keep horses not just because Budweiser is a part of it, just they like to breed and they're going to have them. But Budweiser has been a very big key in keeping the Clydesdale horse alive.
Absolutely. And so do you have any sort of connection with the Budweiser people? I mean, do you breed for them? Is there any sort of back and forth?
Yes, we do. Actually, we deal with them quite a lot, have for quite a number of years. I mean, basically what they're looking for is that good hitch gelding. So the color is very important in size and markings, conformation, and temperament, of course, too. So we have, I'd say for 30 or 40 years now, we've done business with Budweiser. Actually, just recently, they just did buy 4 geldings from me here about a week ago, actually.
Oh, congrats.
They're just 3-year-old horses that we'll get. Sorry?
I said, that's got to be, congratulations, selling 4 horses at this time at all is great. So, congrats, selling 4 to Budweiser.
Yeah, oh, exactly, yeah. There's, they're still very strong ambassador, and they're looking for the, you know, the right horses. If they find the right ones, they'll buy them. And I mean, we're always, I guess, you know, the horses that we breed, some of them will go different directions, some for show horses, some breeding horses, whatever. But the Budweiser horse is always the one we're trying to breed for, too, you know. And we know that that market's there if we come up with the right horse.
Now, so, Steve, I've had
here this the week ago.
Well, wow. Steve, I've had draft horses before. We had Percherons. I'm a Percheron guy, and I know a little bit about the characteristics of the draft breeds. What are the goods and bads of Clydesdales? What characteristics do they have that are the positives of the breed, and then what are the negatives of the breed?
Well, I like to think there isn't any negatives, but anyway,
yeah.
As far as positives, they're the positives are, I mean, they're probably as good a natured breed as there is. Very easy to work with in general. Easy to train, very easy to keep. The one characteristic of the Clydesdale, of course, is the hair on their legs, the white legs with the extra silky hair or feather on the legs. And it is a lot more work. If there was a negative, I suppose, compared to the other breeds to show them, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot more washing, cleaning, working on that hair to get it prepared and look like it's supposed to. But as far as most breeders or people like ourselves that have chosen Clydesdales, it's a joy. It's almost a pleasure to do because of what you come up with for an end product, you know, when you get a horse ready. So I think you can make them look better than most other breeds because of their characteristics, you know.
Yeah, because of the hair definitely helps with that. And I know with the Percherons, it was the same way. They were so gentle and so friendly, and we used to give lessons to little five-year-olds on top of them, riding them. But one of the things we found is the feet were always an issue. We always seemed to have problems with their feet. Is that a problem with the Clydes as well?
It can be without some constant care. Myself, I am actually a farrier by trade, too, so I do quite a lot of draft horse shoeing on the outside as well as obviously take care of our own. But it is a big key. You need to keep on top of it. I mean, the draft horse, in general, is two things that do make their feet an issue. First of all, their size and weight can be a little harder on feet. But the second thing is their feet tend to flare, like they're bred to be a big, for a big foot, and they'll tend to flare more on a flared foot. Will have more tendency to chip or crack or whatnot, more so than a straighter walled horse. So, I mean, it just takes a little more care. I mean, obviously, all the show horses are kept shod and worked with. Now, our brood mares and young horses growing up at home are all just barefoot, but with trimming and proper trimming and, you know, basically constant, it's not an issue. But it does have to be, tended to, for sure.
Jamie, what size shoes does your horse, your thoroughbred, wear?
Actually, it's funny you ask, because he's asking what size my thoroughbred shoes are, and he went to a zero. So this is
funny. Okay. And your horse's average shoe size there, Steve?
Yeah. Well, now in the draft horses, especially the show horses, they're sized differently than the light horse shoes. So there's basically what we go by is just inches in width. So we'll have horses here, like I have a big black Clydesdale mare here, for example, at the show today that's wearing a 10.5-inch wide front shoe.
Good job.
You know, they're all 22 to 23 inches of iron in one shoe. It's a tremendous-footed, like big, strong-footed mare, you know. So, but a lot of the show horses, the hitch geldings, say, for example, they'll wear a shoe 9 to 9.5 inches wide, approximately.
That's almost a foot, people.
Yeah, they're big.
That's tremendous. Well, now you must have some stories to tell, some interesting or funny stories about your Clydes, things that have happened over the years. Can you give us an example?
Well, there is a lot of things that do happen, I suppose. It's one of those things, they don't always come to mind when you need them, but I don't know, as far as interesting stories. We sold a group of horses one time to a resort in Hawaii. Actually, the island of Kauai is where they went. It was a six-horse team. A 7 geldings actually went over. So then part of the deal was once they went there and got there, then I had to go over for 10 days and train some Hawaiian boys to hook these and drive these horses. Well, that was quite interesting. They'd never done that before. It was a resort, a golf resort with automated water sprinkling systems through the place. And I'm trying to get these boys to drive these horses. And you'd be going by all of a sudden, and we'd get hit with a water thing, and they'd try to take off. And the Hawaiians thought it was a bit of a joke. And I went, well, there's a lot more power here than you realize, boys. But anyways, we got through it okay. So, I mean, that just one thing. There's been numerous things over the years. We have the Clydesdale people in general. It's a pretty close-knit family, really. I mean, we know breeders all across North America and Scotland, England, wherever. And so the shows quite often get to be interesting and lots of fun and whatever, too. But as far as, interesting stories, I'm not sure. I mean...
Well, you know, I was thinking about you training Hawaiians there. It's one thing to learn to drive a horse. It's another thing to learn to drive six horses. And when you go from not driving any horses to six horses, that must be a bit of a fun time.
Yeah, it is for sure. I mean, it's quite a challenge. We were fortunate enough to grow with it. I started driving sixes when I was 14 or 15 years old. So it's not a, you know, not a big issue, or I don't feel that it is, but for sure, anybody starting out is quite a challenge, and some people are just more natural, too. I mean, they're just got good hands for the job and good mind, and they can just come to it easy, and there are people that could drive sixes for 20 years and never get it, you know?
Yeah. I know, I drove four, and I was having trouble with the reins, all the reins. I can't imagine six. Well, tell us now what are you doing today at the show? Where are you at, and what are you showing?
We're at it's actually a small town called Rockton, Ontario. They have about a four-day fair here, and it is probably one of the best draft horse shows in Ontario. Well, I know it is. It's a tremendous horse show. There will be 15 six-horse teams here today. We're showing some confirmation halter horses here this morning, and there's some huge classes, and it's regarded as one of the nicest and best draft horse shows here in Ontario, other than, I mean, the Royal Winter Fair is in Toronto in November is obviously it's the last one. It's the ultimate kind of the final of the year, too, you know. But as far as a smaller country fair, this is a tremendous fair here today. I'm going to say, probably 300 draft horses on the grounds here today in total, probably.
Wow. I've never seen a show, actually, that had 15 six-horse hitches. That's a lot. I've always ever seen, you know, three or four or five, but never seen that many. So, well, good luck today. Have some fun out there, and we appreciate you joining us to talk about Clydesdales. We're going to post a link on our Facebook page to your Facebook page as well, where people can find more information about you. If they're interested in learning more about the Clydesdale, they can get a hold of you there. Thank you so much, Steve, for joining us.
Appreciate it. No problem. Thank you.
Let's see, Greg of Greg Lay Clydesdales in Ontario, Canada.
How many horses did he say was at the horse show?
300 draft horses. Can you imagine how much hay that is?
No, can you imagine the cleanup?
The poop. I can
Good
tell you,
God.
having owned draft horses, that they do poop more. There's no question.
Yeah. And they're huge.
Yeah. They're fun, though.
Going
they
in a
fun
big dog. I would just like everybody to know that I'm currently out there looking for a sister from another mother because Aubrey Miller is a fan of the puppet guy.
I saw that. She's the worst than you. She threw you under the bus. She just said, you can disown me now. That's how strongly she feels about the puppet guy.
That's the thing, is people that like this puppet guy, you know, sorry, Jamie, puppets are funny. You can disown me as a sister now. And then she starts talking about something. I have no idea. Oh, my God, those childhood pictures of him. I nearly lost it. It's like they had to be staged. I can't remember his new show. I don't even know what you're talking about, Aubrey. I don't even care. Do you know what she's talking about with childhood pictures of this guy?
I didn't watch. We didn't watch last night's yet. We taped it, so we didn't see the new show that came out last night. So it's probably on there.
His mouth does move. Thank you very much.
Barbara Evans just posted that she's having trouble getting the live feed on Blog Talk right now. I don't know if she's the only one having trouble with that. Let us know if she is. Just post it on our Facebook page. Sorry, Barbara, she can't hear us, so I can't tell her. But, Jennifer, if you could just type to her and tell her, oh, she says she can't use her phone because it gets too hot. Ooh, she needs a new phone.
Our show makes her phone hot.
Barbara, our show makes your phone hot? There you go.
I like
All
it.
Right, Jamie.
I like it.
About why don't you do the commercial?
All right. Well, after somebody gets a new phone, we'd like to thank Omega Alpha for being a part of today's show because we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. And I actually just have a neighbor down the street whose horse has been having kind of what Jet used to have, that intermittent colic episode, you know, where you just can't quite tell what kind of colic it is, and it's not a great drinker. So I just sent them the, you know, you've got to go to Omega Alpha and get Biotic 8. That's the first start to getting some digestive health resolved. And Omega Alpha has dozens of natural products for, I mean, everything. Their coat, digestive tract, kidney, liver function, muscles, joints, and so much more. They also have what's called Endurigen, and it is all natural, and it's used to increase the stamina and strength of your horse to improve performance. Oh, man. Some of us need that. Some of us definitely don't. Please, please don't encourage him to be stronger and faster. Like as the little racehorse Edward, he just I need the calming. I need the, what do they call it, equine chill that they have. That's what he needs. But it helps restore energy levels and it increases strength and stamina. It's called Endurigen, and you can see all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com or like them on Facebook, search for Omega Alpha Equine, and they do contests and all sorts of stuff that's fun. So you've got to go check out Omega Alpha on Facebook as well.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie. Well, we're going to do some news now from the weekend, and we have a couple of things to talk about. First, what was that thing? Oh, I know what you were talking about. You did go Old West this weekend, didn't you?
I did. That's what I was telling you, Glenn. It reminded me of you, and not in a good way. So my dad, I love him to death. He wants to be like a cowboy from the 1800s. The guy, he won't ride a horse, but he loves, like, you know, dressing like a cowboy and watching old Westerns. And that's, like, his favorite thing is old Western movies. So I surprised him when I picked him up from the airport, and I took him to what is called Rawhide. And I think it has a website, like Rawhide. Just Google it, and you'll find it. And it is at the Wild Horse Pass Casino. It's a Western town outside of the casino. And my God, it looks cool on the website. I mean, they've got horses doing tricks. They've got all sorts of crazy Western stuff. They said they had gun shows and all that, you know, just super cheesy old Western stuff. And I thought, my God, it's perfect. And they also do where you can take the old-timey Western photos, you in costume, you know. And I've always wanted to do that. I knew my dad would love it. So we head to this Western town that's outside of a casino, and let me just tell you that it was definitely way better looking on the website. Like, we're talking potentially some of the worst acting I've ever seen. Like, we went to the Old West gun show. We're waiting on our time for our photo shoot, Glenn, and we go to the Old West gun show, and because they had a Halloween theme going on, it was a Old West zombie hunter that came out and was hunting zombies. And the zombie looked like he was 17 years old and started doing the Michael Jackson moonwalk to the song. I mean, we're talking the worst show you've ever seen in your entire life. One horse. We saw one horse coming through downtown, and I wanted to go take him home and give him some food. He looked hungry. Oh, and it was, of course, this big fat guy on him. I'm like, get off that horse. He's too skinny. You're too heavy. It's always, a, you know, skinny horse is a big rider. And it's just really bad. It was really, really bad. And the reason I thought of you, Glenn, because like my dad, you would have loved it. You would have loved it. Oh, this is the Wild West. I'm a gun-toting cowboy. You would have loved it, just like my dad did. But I thought it was like the cheesiest thing I'd ever seen.
I got to tell you, though, you looked in that picture. Jennifer, I hope, has the picture that she can post on our Facebook page. You looked like a badass, you know, cowboy fighting cowgirl. You did.
Well, we went. This is the weird part, Glenn, is I guess
you
they don't
Clint
get
Eastwood,
a lot of.
You could be partners.
I know. And that's the thing is you go in here, Glenn, and they ask you, you know, there's three different scenes. There's the one at the bar.
There's the one that is in front of, I don't know, a stagecoach or something, but it wasn't finished, so they didn't have that one available. And then they had the bathtub. And I don't think that they have a lot of father-daughters coming in to get their pictures taken. Oh, my God. I walk in, and she's like, okay, you want to be a cowboy, and you want to be what the, what did she call it, the barmaid. And that's when you put the bustle on and the dresses, and I was like, oh, hell no. I'm a gunfighter, honey. Do you think I'm going to put on some sexy dress? I'm like, do you see this guy? This is not my date. I'm 35 years old. This guy's 68. Do you really think we're going to hop in a bathtub together? It was weird. It was weird. So
I'll tell you what. That makes you wonder how many of those she actually does have coming in.
Isn't that frightening? Like, she didn't immediately assume he was my dad. That was disturbing.
Well, so, I tell you, you got to post the picture, Jennifer. It is a good picture, actually. It really is.
Yeah. Well, we got the picture taken, and it was funny because my dad, you know, he's so used to sitting in front of a camera and smiling. We had to take like 20 pictures. I was like, stop smiling. Dad, you smiled in every picture you've ever taken. We are killers, man. We are fighters. We are mad and we are angry. Stop smiling. And that just made him giggle even more, you know, of course. So I finally got the one picture where he wasn't smiling. I said, look mean, Dad. Look mean. You're the Duke. You're John Wayne. And then I got it. So we're good.
He does love John Wayne. He probably loves the Old West stuff more than I do. I got to admit, though. He does love that stuff. Well, we went to a peanut festival over the weekend. Yes, you heard right. We went to a peanut festival. Yeah, there's a little town up here by the name of Williston that has one peanut factory, and that's about the only thing in Williston is the peanut plant. And, you know, I guess they needed an excuse to have a festival, so they picked peanuts because it was the only thing in town. And so they had a peanut festival. Now, there weren't a whole lot of peanuts at the peanut festival, but it was a fairly large festival. They get like 10,000 people that show up from all over Florida for this thing. And so we went over and we enjoyed the peanut festival. And we actually did buy some peanuts because I thought we had to. It was like required. But it was kind of fun. But I don't think it was half as exciting as the Old West town with the crappy actors. I think that would have been better, actually.
I don't know. I when you say peanut festival, it makes me want to ask you, because if you didn't, it's sacrilege. Did you have hot-boiled peanuts?
We did try them for the first time. Jennifer and I, actually, there were four of us. My brother and his wife were there. And all four of us, for the first time, tried boiled peanuts. And Jennifer was the only one that liked them.
You didn't like them, Glenn? God, what's wrong with you?
Oh, it Jennifer tasted like mush. I mean, just boiled salt water mush.
You know what that made me think of, Jamie? And now neither Glenn nor I are seafood eaters. But you hear people who love oysters. Talk about what oysters. It's an oyster for a vegetarian. It's got all the little salt water inside, and then the chewy, meaty center, and the spices. And yeah, I liked them.
I love hot boiled peanuts, and I love the Cajun variety too. So your fingers and your lips burn after you eat them all. But no, that is one of the things I miss most about living in Georgia is the fact that you could drive around anywhere, and there's always. I mean, obviously not in the city, but when I would go out to the barn, there's always somebody on the side of the road selling hot boiled peanuts. And if you were lucky, they had some Cajuns.
Some people actually eat the shell of the boiled peanuts too, don't they?
No. Eats the shell.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing because it was just the whole thing was crappy. I don't know. Didn't like that at all.
The mushier in the middle, the better. Nobody likes an undercooked hot boiled peanut. If it's crunchy, it ain't cooked long enough.
They're supposed to be smushy. Okay. But while we were at the peanut festival, we got to thinking, and nobody was at the peanut festival because, as Glenn said, it really wasn't all that peanutty. Nobody could answer our question. When you get roasted peanuts in a shell, at a bar, you know, and they're salty on the inside, how do they get the salt on the inside of the shell?
It's actually just cracking it. When you crack it, the salt comes off on your fingers and stuff. It's not salty inside.
It's not really salty inside.
There's so much salt.
We just think it is.
Yeah, because there's so much salt on the outside.
Well, that's what makes it good.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. You know, I determined that after your little escapade this weekend with Jeff Dunham and the Big Bang and all of that, that it's good we have horses in common, or I don't even know how we do a show together.
We do the show together because I tolerate your weirdness. That's why.
By the way, you are losing this battle on Facebook, I hate to tell you.
Barely.
But let's get on to some horse news. Let's actually talk horses this morning. Keeneland's fall meet has started, and one of the favorite things you're going to do, if you are anywhere near Kentucky or Ohio, you have to get down for this. One of the favorite things to do is on Saturday, I think it's Saturday, you go down and you have breakfast at Keeneland, and you go down and you watch the horses training in the morning, and they have enhanced that a whole lot now. They're actually, they have a whole lineup of things. They have the children's activities, which they've always had for breakfast at Keeneland, but they're actually doing tours now. They're giving new walking tours of Keeneland with guides throughout the park on breakfast at Keeneland. They're also doing paddock demonstrations and saddling and equine demonstrations put on by Rude and Riddle, and old friends is going to be there as well as the Mustang troop from the Kentucky Horse Park. They're doing, you can get photos taken in the paddock area, and they're also doing a jockey Q&A, question and answer session with jockeys at 12:05. So the whole morning is full of activities now, a little different than when you were riding around with everybody watching you there in the morning.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm listening to you talk about Keeneland in the fall and the fall meet. You know, it's great to go in the spring. The flowers are blooming, and it's fantastic. But going in the fall, it's like a crisp wind. All the leaves are changing, and they're blowing by. You know, oh, my gosh, I miss Keeneland in the fall. It is. If you guys haven't been, I mean, the problem is, like, if you've never been to a racetrack and you go to Keeneland, you'll be ruined because it is so incredibly
that
nice.
That is true.
It is, like, fancy, not trash on the ground. You know, they lock up the track people, you know. They lock them in a separate room so you don't see them wandering around. That sounds terrible, but it's true. It's all the cool people go to Keeneland. It's great. So I sound like a snob, but you know what I mean? Like, it's a great feeling, a whole great event.
We will miss that. Now, in the fall, it's very cold. As a matter of fact, it was in the 30s this morning, I noticed, in Lexington, so it's chilly. But that was part of the thing. You go out, and it's chilly, and then you eat hot breakfast, and you watch the horses go around. It's just one of the things that you can't meet. The meet, you can't miss. The meet will be going on through the end of the month, so that meet has started. There was one race there I got to tell you about, Jamie. There was one race. It was called the Grade 1 Judmont Spinster. Race,
okay.
And it was on Sunday at Keeneland, and it had the best name for a horse ever. Wins the horse naming contest hands down for anybody that's a guy. And I have a little bit of the end of the race here. This is the very end of the race. It was a long race.
Listen
to the announcer as he calls the finish of the race, and listen to what he says.
And 4/5 seconds the time for the first half mile. Juanita, leading Star Former, and Carlo Vivari, the top three, separated by less than one length midway on the far turn. In Lingerie, fourth toward the inside, three lengths off the lead. Mystical Star has to angle wide from fifth, now fourth, still four lengths from the front. Kitty in a tizzy behind her. The defending champion, Aruna, seven lengths off the lead, looking for running room in behind horses. Mystical Star coming after Star Former, Kitty in a tizzy, and Aruna on the grandstand side. Mystical Star to the lead in Lingerie. Tries to get Shook Loose behind her. Star Former's down toward the inside. Mystical Star has a short lead in Lingerie. Then Star Former back toward the rail. The rest have work to do in Lingerie. Past the 16th pole, Johnny Velasquez aboard in Lingerie, drawing clear in the closing strides to take the Judmont Spinster.
Johnny Velasquez aboard in Lingerie.
I love silly names. And she is, I can't wait for it. Lingerie is coming off the lead.
I love that.
That's great.
Johnny Velasquez in Lingerie. You just picture him there as Lingerie. What
that's
a great
fantastic
name. Apparently this horse is a pretty good horse, Todd Pletcher horse. Won two grade one races and has a total of $712,000 winning so far. She's 4-2-1. So there you go.
Now, since we're
That's a great name. And if you're running in the Judmont Spinster, you are at Keeneland in a grade one, you are a nice horse, that's for sure. But I got to tell you about a horse, since we're talking about Kentucky, I thought you would like this story, Glenn. There's a legend, a leading standardbred racehorse called Won the West. Won the West had 109 lifetime starts, 36 wins,
wow.
24 seconds, 15 thirds. He won the big race, the Breeders' Crown, in a stakes record time in 2009, and then he won it again in 2010. He was older pacer of the year in 2009 and 2010. He won awards. He won everything. Well, he has won the lottery because this guy is now going to live at the Kentucky Horse Park in the Hall of Champions.
Oh, cool. Good for him.
Yeah.
Do we know how old he is now?
He is 8 years old.
Oh, is that all? He'll be there for a while then. Good.
Yeah. Born in, I think it's 8 years old. Yeah, born in 2004. So fantastic life. You know, I mean, obviously, just going there. If you haven't been to the Kentucky Horse Park, go to the Keeneland Fall Meet and then go over to the Horse Park and look at the Hall of Champions because you'll get to meet Cigar. Ah! And now Won the West.
Well, he and Cigar can hang out together. Well, that's really neat. Speaking of champions, there were some champions honored at the USET Foundation in Gladstone yesterday, and they dedicated inducted the three of the living legends of jumping were there together, George Morris, William Steinkraus, and Frank Chapeau, members of the 1960 Olympic silver medal team, were reunited at Gladstone at the Hamilton farm there. They had a total between the three of them of 53 medals in the Olympics, Pan American Games, and World Championships. Apparently, they talk on the phone with each other, but they don't see each other much anymore, and this was the first time they had gotten together in a long time. And for them, it's very special to get together at Gladstone because that really is that's like the Cooperstown of the horse world up in Gladstone, New Jersey. And William Steinkraus has been a guest on the Equestrian Legends show over at equestrianlegends.com, so you can hear about him there. But these were three legends together in the show jumping world in the United States.
Hey, don't think I didn't appreciate your baseball reference. And so I thought, oh my gosh, Glenn just compared Gladstone to Cooperstown.
I just watched a baseball movie.
Oh, whatever, dude. I just looked at the article, and it says that in the article. So you didn't come up with that on your own. Just to let you guys know, everybody's probably one of the most popular eventers in the U.S. is Karen O'Connor. And she's going to have some new accessories. She'd be sporting them. If you haven't heard, this past weekend, she and her mare, Veronica, who she rode a Rolex, actually fell at a jump, had a rotational fall in Morven Park. She was wearing her .2 air vest. She is convinced that it saved her from further trauma, but she did. Now, it says that she had a burst fracture and a compression fracture of the T4 and T5 vertebrae. I don't know what that means, to have a burst fracture. That sounds really bad. But apparently, neurologically, she's fine. She can feel and move everything, but she has to lay down. For Karen O'Connor, this has got to be torture. And she's going to have a full body, upper body cast from, like, below her pelvis all the way up to her neck. And she's not allowed to ride. That's got to be tough.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be out for a little while with that. Those are always
couple
fun.
Months,
and,
yeah.
And you're right. Anytime you put burst in front of fracture, it's not good.
But apparently they're saying it's not that bad. That's like, it's not that bad. It burst.
And the horse was okay, right? I think the horse was fine.
Yeah, as they said, she has a few cuts and scrapes, but it's going to be hanging out in the field. And I guess she was also riding Mandiva and was in first place. And obviously she did not get to finish.
All right, very good. Well, Jennifer, tell us about our sponsor for this half hour, and then we're going to go into our song with Templeton Thompson.
Well, I certainly would be happy to do that. As horse lovers, we mull over our horses' nutrition, and we stress about their stress level, and we fret about their fitness. But when is the last time you puzzled over your horse's lounging and sleeping comfort? Research has shown us over and over again, with humans as well as animals, that quality as well as quantity of rest and sleep are crucial for top athletic performance as well as overall well-being. Well, enter Stable Comfort by ProMat. Stable Comfort mimics the characteristics of a natural pasture, providing safe, clean, and comfortable surface for your horse. It is a wall-to-wall, waterproof design that gives your horse the confidence to walk, lie down, and get back up without a fear of slipping. And as a bonus, you use less bedding, and as a result, you use less labor to clean out the bedding. So it's a double savings for you. Head on over to stablecomfort.com and find out why champions like Nick Skelton, Mary King, and Chris Cox use the Stable Comfort system for their equine athletes.
Feeling good.
Oh, that's Templeton Thompson. And I guess, can you guess what the name of that song was, Jamie?
You're no good.
Yeah, that's
is that right?
Yeah. You're No Good by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening
to
Horses in
song.
The Morning. What's that?
That's a cover song.
Yes, definitely a cover
okay.
song. Yep, that was all one right. of her covers she did. I liked her version, though. It was good. You can find you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn to be here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen over there as well. And this show today is brought to you by Omega Alpha. You can find them at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. I do want to mention that apparently people are still having trouble listening to the show. I'm not sure what to say. We're hearing it here when we do our player. Apparently there are other people that are not hearing it when they're trying to use the live player. It's just buffering, and I hope that those people, they can't hear us, so I hope those people come back later and listen to the recorded show a little bit later in the day. About it, it might be a Blog Talk thing, it might be an internet thing. I'm not sure at this point because I did just test it and it is working. So that's where we're at with that. I did want to also mention that you're still losing in this whole battle about comedy. I don't know how you just don't have a sense of humor. I just don't get it.
So because I don't have it up, tell me a little bit about how I'm losing, because last time I checked, I did have some people on my side.
One. Yeah, I know you want to hold on to that because it's important to have at least one. But Karen and Katie and Michelle and the only one you got is Yudi on your side. By the way, Yudi does have a sense of humor because she posted a very funny picture today that we're going to have to put of a possessed mini donkey in a bathtub with a woman trying to eat her face off. That was posted earlier in the day. Maybe not so much trying to eat her face off. But.
I'm trying to find this here. So you're saying that I'm getting my butt kicked. Is that true? I mean.
Yes. Yes.
I think there's four people that have commented and only three like it. So
if this was a presidential election poll, they would make it sound like we had 80% of the vote and you only had 20.
Well, the your math is really bad, Glenn. That'd be 75-25. I'm worried about you. See, those people that like puppet shows don't know how to do any math. See, you're ridiculous.
Why don't you take our next guest?
Is she ready?
Yes, she is.
Okay, well, fantastic. Now, again, we're going to bring Leslie Wiley from HorseNation.com into the conversation. And Leslie.
Hey.
And don't give us a polite answer like you did last time, because basically we got to the bottom of it by the end of the conversation. I want to know, honestly, do you like that weird guy? I mean, not sway the conversation. Do you like the guy that has the puppets on Comedy Central?
Jeff Dunham.
That has the puppets.
Jeff Dunham. Jeff Dunham.
He's the guy. Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Walter.
The only thing I've seen of him do was the little terrorist puppet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Terrorist
yeah.
puppet.
Yeah, very funny.
I think it's funny.
Well, Leslie, we're losing you. We're losing you. I can't hear you. We're going to have to let you go. You do not think that is funny. Seriously, do you think that's funny, honestly? Be honest.
I think it's funny. What does he say?
Way to go,
it's
Leslie.
Funny.
You go, girl. I knew I liked you for a reason.
What did he say? Okay. He says, what's the little terrorist puppet saying?
Ahmed.
Ahmed.
The dead terrorist, yes.
Yeah, that's funny, Jamie. That is funny stuff.
I'm done with you. You know what? Listen.
Oh,
I know.
I hear you.
You asked for it.
It's funny. I don't know.
Oh, my God. My dad is in the room, and he's sitting behind me laughing because he thinks the puppet guy is hilarious. What is wrong with people?
Our vote is now at 90%.
Well, y'all just go ahead and enjoy your weird puppet guy that talks to, you know, whatever. I don't get it. And Leslie, I would like for you to understand that, yes, Glenn may own the Horse Radio Network, but this is, let's be honest, this is my show, and you may not be invited back if you don't start turning around a little bit.
I think everything's fun. I think everything's hilarious. I may not be the best judge of this kind of thing. Maybe you shouldn't get my opinion on it.
Perfect judge of this kind of thing. Absolutely wonderful.
I'm not asking your opinion about anything anymore. No, let's just go ahead and talk about what you were going to talk about, whatever. And seriously, though, talk to us about what is going on HorseNation.com. I'm just going to move on and pretend that never happened.
Sorry to let you down, Jamie. Okay, so what's going on Horse Nation? Okay, so Jamie or Glenn, I don't know. I'm not going to discriminate here. Have you read the 50 Shades of Grey books?
No.
No?
No.
Glenn hasn't.
No.
Jamie? No. Seriously?
No. Not
okay,
yet.
I haven't either.
It's pretty raunchy sex book kind of thing. Is that
right?
I will be reading it shortly.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a mom. I was teaching a lesson, and the kid's mom was sitting. There's like a picnic table under a tree up above the ring, and she was reading this book, and she left it on the table, and left, and so I picked it up and started thumbing through it, and it was Fifty Shades of Grey, and I hadn't heard of it. And I was like, what is this? But
you open it up
back
and, like, it's like porn, right?
Yeah. So I gave the book back to the mom the next week, and she, like, kind of looked, you know, a little ashamed of herself. But anyway, so I'm probably not going to read 50 Shades of Grey, but we had a sort of a spin on that 50 Shades of Nay, and their raunchy Harlequin style horse books.
Awesome,
right?
All right, let me pull up your list here, because you can find this on HorseNation.com. 50 Shades of Nay, a reading list of horse-themed romance novels. I did not know that they made them, but I do love and appreciate the guy on the cover that's shirtless all the time riding a horse. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. So go through some of these books for us here.
So they have titles such as The Untamed Argentinian, Unbridled Love.
He's a polo player.
Tame horses, wild hearts. Yeah. yep. Unbridled Love. Hearts Over Fences. One Wild Cowboy.
Yeehaw.
Sounds pretty good, huh? Yeah.
Yeehaw. Oh, yeah. Wow. I think that was
followed
favorite.
By One Fine Cowboy.
Unbridled Love. My favorite is The Untamed Argentinian. Of course he's got to be a polo player. Good God.
Yeah, and I put the book covers in there, and also a description of each book, which are pretty racy in and of themselves, and oftentimes hilarious. Like, there was one book, I can't remember which one it was, but it was about... it may have been one wild cowboy, but it was about it involves an Olympic reining horse.
Oh, no, I got it. Okay.
Wrap your head around that.
I'm going to read from it, because obviously reining is a huge Olympic sport. So now, her father clues her into his bucket list dream to turn his prize foal into the first Olympic champion reining horse. And if that weren't crazy enough, he enlists the help of a haughty local cowboy who looks enough like George Strait to make Cassie's heart quiver. The last thing she wants is a hometown hookup, but Chase Eversall could be their ticket to the Olympics.
Just you should read that one on the show.
Wait, and the last sentence is this. Just once, could she finish on top?
you to read that one chapter by chapter.
Oh, my God. Yes, we need to read these on the show like we did with Black Beauty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
An Olympic Rainer. Wow. And the name of that book is Texas Rain, R-E-I-N.
That is good stuff. That is literature right there.
Read any of these? Because I actually have never heard of them. And when I do see Harlequin on the top of the book, I usually just turn the other way. Like I'll take a bio of Barbaro way over the One Wild Cowboy Harlequin romance novel. But I want to know: have you gotten into this?
I haven't, but I think I want to. I think it could be. You know, I think that's something I could get into because it's never going to happen in real life. You know.
You mean Leslie? You're not going to tame an Argentinian?
Probably not.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, check that out on horsenation.com, 50 Shades of Nay. And I'm sure that you're probably wanting submissions as well so we can keep this going. So,
Definitely.
Anybody knows any, please go right ahead. Send them over to Leslie. What else is going on?
Let's see. We had a great column from, we have an anonymous columnist who refers to herself as the writing instructor and writes a column called The Writing School. And she had a great column about knowing when your child is ready to take on horse ownership, which I think is should be required reading for any parent who is thinking about crossing that bridge, you know, because every little girl, every little kid wants a horse, right, wants a pony. But I think wanting is, you know, that's, they've definitely got to want it, but they've also got to be ready to handle that sort of responsibility. And she has a really well-thought-out checklist of what she considers to be requirements for childhood horse ownership.
Right.
Like, you know, for instance, they've got to have, she requires that they must have fallen off and gotten back on. She's, you know, a couple of years of riding lessons are a necessary prerequisite. And also that they can care for their horse independently, even if that means, you know, having a, you know, being able to put the saddle on using a stepladder. You know, they still have to be able to do it all themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, I think definitely also a certain degree of desperation. So the horse has to have been on the Dear Santa list for, you know, a couple years or more.
I totally agree with this, and I got to tell you that the, and I'm using finger quotes here in the air, the riding instructor, I agree with this person a lot, and I really agree with this article, especially parts of it where she said that they have to fall off, and another one was the horse has to be pushed by her. So, like, just because it pushes her around and she just keeps going, that's not going to work, and it's just going to escalate problems when a kid does get a horse. So they need to be able to kind of put their hands on the horse and move the horse. And another thing is it's the horse's fault is not in their vocabulary because it's never the horse's fault. It's pretty much your fault, and they need to know that. From what they're doing, and I really think this is spot on. And so if you do have kids or if you have an idea of getting your kid a horse, or you're not sure, definitely check this out because it's a good checklist.
definitely. Yeah, I really have a lot of respect for the writer of this column. I think a lot of times you'll find riding instructors who have sort of ulterior motives, whether that's, you know, they've got a kid taking lessons, maybe they can sell them a horse now, maybe they can actually, you know, make board money off of them, you know, and this columnist seems to always have the best interest of her students first, which I think is really admirable and increasingly rare.
But, yeah, definitely.
So now, definitely check that one out.
Yeah, no, I think everybody should check it out. Again, that's horsenation.com. Now, your final one is, I am so guilty of this. I am so guilty of this one, Leslie, that there's actually, because I did it, there's one in my backyard right now that I've had for about 3 months. So tell everybody about the way you're just going to continue.
Oh, yeah.
In trouble.
So, I mean, so lots of us, you know, I think you're not alone, Jamie, in having a lust for off-the-track thoroughbreds. And Canner, you know, is a thoroughbred rehoming organization, and they have this. They run this great website that has listings for, you know, trainer listings, from all over the country, racehorses that are ready for a new home. And I know it's one of my favorite pastimes to peruse the listings and oh, I'd like that one, and how cute is that one, and you know, and sort of daydream. So, you know, we have a girl, Caitlin Jansen, who is a friend of mine, and she's a serial canter stalker. And is always sending me links to these different thoroughbreds. And so a couple weeks ago, I was like, Caitlin, why don't you make yourself useful and turn this, you know, into a column? And so basically she goes through the Canter listings every week and picks five off-the-track thoroughbreds that she thinks would be really good sport horse candidates. So I think that's a fun one of our a real fun new addition to Horse Nation is her weekly canter wish list.
Now this is cool, and I get it, because when, you know, I was looking for a little bit of a project, and I looked around, and nothing was really. Chad thought he's like, you're the pickiest person in the world, because he sees a horse and he's like, looks good to me, and me, I'm like. Nah, he's a little too upright, a little too lax with the fetlocks. I don't like his shoulder. You know, I mean, if I'm looking for a sport horse, I'm going to be picky. Now, my lesson horses, they can look like whatever, you know, they just need to be safe. But these guys, if I'm going to spend a lot of time with them, conformationally, I want them to be perfect. I want their brain to be good. I looked on Canter, and I looked at 100 horses. I get on Canter, I scroll about 4 down, I'm like, that one. And so we then got in the car, drove 2.5 hours with the trailer, picked him up, and brought him home. So I get it. Canter stalking is very dangerous for me. And the fact that you are currently listing, and I'm not even a really big mare person, but the thoroughbred mare that you have on there with the shoulder that's just incredible. I think her name is Soup. Did you see that mare?
Yeah.
My God, what an athlete. So check these out at horsenation.com, the weekly Canter wish list. I want you to be totally honest with me and let me know every time she does this if she goes and gets a horse.
We actually, the first week we did it, we had somebody post on our Facebook page that they were going to vet one of the horses that Caitlin listed. So,
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So, you know.
I got to tell you, Leslie, though, my favorite post from last week, and I always go on and I look at how many you actually post, the number of views that are on Nation. And the biggest one from last week, and we always say this, the silliest stuff gets the most views, right? And you had one called 32 Amazing Horse Cakes. That's cakes, K-A or C-A-K-E-S, cakes, like cakey. And these were cakes that were designed to look like horses, or, you know, wedding cakes that had a horse theme and things like that. That one had like 10 times the number of views that any other post you had. And there were some really fun horse cakes on there, I got to say. There were some cute ones.
There were works of art. I'm not sure how anyone, you know, would actually eat them. They're too pretty. But
there are some neat ones on there. Yeah, I really like the one of the barn with the little horse head sticking out and everything. That one was really cute. But, yeah, you can find that at the Horse Nation as well. 32 Amazing Horse Cakes.
Yeah, Kay, they're good. And I love the Hermes saddles that you had on there. Now, my only critique on horsenation.com, and this is only because I
Leslie, listen. I have stuff to do during the day. I have things to do, horses to ride, people to teach, but you cannot post this much stuff every day. It's taking away too much of my time. Because every time I see it crawl up on Facebook, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go read that. And then I click them and then I read them all. And you're posting too much because, like, literally, what are you doing? Every 2 hours?
At least that's what we're shooting for, yeah.
Too many. Slow it down. I can't keep up. I'm missing stuff, and I don't want to miss anything.
Maybe you should just have a designated time at the end of the day. It's like Horse Nation 30, and you go back and you read everything then, and so then you're not disrupting all of your productiveness during the day.
So just basically when my husband gets home, he wants some dinner and some attention, you want me to just go ahead and use that time?
Yeah, that's
don't skimp on the horse time, but go ahead. If you post pony dressage, I can't take it. I can't take the little pony dressage. We're talking.
That is a crowd favorite for sure.
Yeah. Glenn, you got to go on and check out the pony dressage because they're like tiny little Shetland ponies with these cute little girls on them or boys on them doing dressage tests. Oh, my God, it's to die for. So check that out.
All right. I watched the horse finish the course by himself on the video du jour. I didn't need you called. I didn't need you anyway. That was pretty good, too.
That was good.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, everybody go to horsenation.com. It'll kill a lot of time during the day. Too much time. We have stuff to do. Slow down, Leslie. We appreciate it. We don't want you to run out of things to talk about. But have a great day. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great week.
Bye, Leslie.
Bye.
Horsenation.com.
Just
there
get her giggle.
Stuff on there. I was just reading all the articles while you guys were talking. I was going through and taking a look at them all because you're right. She does post a lot.
It's too much. I can't keep up with it, and I keep missing stuff. And then I have to go back through, and it takes me an hour and a half to get through it. So she needs to post a little bit less so I don't miss anything. Because I'm already checking Horse and Man and Eventing Nation. My God, how much computer reading can I do a day? A lot, apparently.
And then you add Facebook in there, and that pretty much kills the whole productive day.
Oh, and Words with Friends? Oh, my God, I'm addicted.
Are you still playing with that?
Yes, because I beat you 25 times in a row doesn't mean you can just quit.
Well, no, I haven't played it in forever. And actually, some of our listeners, I apologize to them. They've sent me requests, and I just don't have time. I just haven't had time. And I suck. So let's be honest.
It's not that you don't have time.
Beat every game. When you get beat every game, it gets depressing.
Some would say that you would learn and improve.
No,
but
didn't happen.
Not you.
Just
not
getting
you.
Beat every game. Do you win any game?
You think I've been sitting here losing this whole time? No. Of course I win. I win at least one out of every 10.
Just enough to keep you going.
Just enough to get it. It's like when you go and you bet one horse and it comes in and wins and you gamble for the rest of your life. Yep, that's what happened to me. I won one game. Yeah, I do. I win.
Well, you can feel good about not winning in the comedy contest today because apparently everybody has validated that you have no sense of humor. That's pretty much what's been validated. Even your father, for God's sake.
I know, but I don't agree with my dad hardly ever, so it doesn't shock me at all.
You were really expecting Leslie to come to your aid there, weren't you? You were hoping. Somebody.
Well, the whole Big Bang Theory, she came out and she was like, yeah, I like it. It's funny. And then by the end of it, she was like, yeah, no, they're nerds. It's a terrible show. But she feels like she has to be nice because she's a nice person and she's always like all bubbly and stuff. But I would like to say that Glenn Forrester is on my side, too. And if there's a guy I don't want on my side, it is Glenn Forrester. He says he doesn't like puppet shows. And it is a puppet show. And Yudi says that she thinks puppets are creepy. I think it's creepy, too. So those of us that have
you,
some sense.
You three, hold on to that. Hold on to that. You have each other. And you've got to hold on to that because nobody else is with you. You're on that ship all by yourself.
I don't care.
One of you better learn to steer it. All I got to say, you're going to end up ditched on a remote island somewhere and you'll be in the next. You'll be on Lost the next season.
And I do like that show, and it's canceled, so that's fine. Whatever, I don't care. All right, well, listen, let's wrap up this show. I got things to do.
Yep.
I got websites to read and blogs to check and all sorts of crap, so I got to go.
We'll be back with you live again on Wednesday morning. We'll have another show for you tomorrow morning. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. For those of you that missed it, we hope that you catch the recorded show, which will be posted here in about an hour. Of course, that's about how 95% of our people listen, so we appreciate everybody that listens to it recorded as well. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Have a great day, everybody. Go ride your horse and spay, neuter, and delve. Okay? Get it done.
And back
to Don't wait any longer.
And nutter. Don't forget the nutter.